This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. We learned in the previous Mishnah that the piece of nevel of animal carcass, or a substantial amount of mechatas, of parduma, purification water, are sources of tumah, which have the capacity to transmit tumah to a person, not just through maga, a person directly touches them, but even through masa, even if the person merely carries either of these, and bears its weight, or let's say moves it with a stick, in that case, the person would become tummy as well, and that would leave him a rishon l'tumma, he's 1 degree away from the tumma source. And so he in turn could be metame if he touches food, that food would become tummy. But Chazal derived from the pasuk that it's specifically a person who could become tummy through masa from either nevela or mechatas. But if some utensil bears the weight without directly touching some nevela or mechatas, then that utensil would not become tame. Our Mishnah says, lamala mehen bol nida. More stringent than them, the nevela and mechatas in this regard, is the case of a boel nida, that is a man who had relations with a woman who was a nida at the time, that is, she had menstruated and she has yet to complete the purification process to purify herself of her tumas nida. If a man had relations with her at that time, then pasuk says usihi nida sa alav v'tame shivas yamim. Then she transmits her tumas nida to him, and he then becomes like a nida in the sense that he too now has a tuma period that lasts for 7 days. So this is another sort of exception where the nida essentially is considered like an avi avatuma, and that when she makes the man who was with her tame, he's not tame merely on the level of rishon l'tuma, a level that we've learned is not of the capacity to transmit tuma to other people or utensils. Rather, he is tame on the level of avatuma, and more specifically, he is as tame as the cases of the previous Mishnah of nevela and mechatas. Not only that, our Mishnah teaches his tumah potency is even greater in that shehu metamen mishkav tachna ke'elyon, in that even a mishkav, something he's lying on, something made to be lied on, like, say, a mattress, if that keli even bears his weight, then that becomes tameh as elyon, as tameh as something that is zav, another tameh individual, that he bears. If something goes on top of a zav person, then that item becomes tummy on the level of tumas rishon. The bol nidas tachton, what's beneath him, what he lies on, becomes as tummy as that, also becomes a rishon. So in this regard, the bol nida is a more potent source of tuma than nevela and mechatas. As we said, although nevela and mechatas can transmit tuma even through masa, based on the fact that their weight is being borne, but we explained that's only if a person bears the weight of the nevela or mechatas, not if some inanimate keli does. But regarding the bol nida, even if an inanimate keli is a mattress, something that's made to be lied on, that bears the person's weight, even if there's a whole stack of them, it would apply to the whole stack, the thing he lies on becomes tame on the level of rishon l'tuma. The Mishnah continues and says, l'mala mehen, we have avos atumos that are even more stringent than them, and according to the Rambam's reading in the Mishnah, this is primarily referring back to the cases of the previous Mishnah of nevela and mechatos. We learned in the previous Mishnah that if a person bears the weight or moves around a piece of nevela or some mechatos, then not only does he himself become tame, but his clothing or whatever kelim are touching with the time he carried that nevela or mechatos, that becomes tame as well. However, the previous Mishnah explained, chasuchi begadim b'maga. This doesn't apply when the tuma transmission from the, let's say, nevela to the person is happening through maga. If he's not carrying the nevela, but touching the nevela, then only the person becomes tame, not his clothing or whatever kelim are touching him at that time. And meaning we fall back on the regular rule that since the person is a rishon l'tuma cannot be metame utensils, so the, let's say, clothing on him remained free of ritual impurity. But regarding this aspect, l'mala mehen, stricter than those of us atumos, the nevela and mechates, are the following sources of tumah. First, we have Zovo Shazov. The Zivas discharge, so it's similar to semen, but a little bit different. It is emitted by a Zav. When a man has at least two of these emissions, he becomes Tame as a Zav. The Mishnah here is referring to the Zivas discharge itself. And that is the source of Tama. And his other bodily fluids as well. Veruko, including his saliva. Ushik Vazaro, his semen. Umemi Raglav, or urine of a Zav. Also in this list is Vidam Hanida, a woman's menstrual blood. The blood itself is a source of Tama. All of these fluids, these sources of Tuma, are more potent sources of Tuma than Nevel or Mechates, in that Shehin Metamin Bemaka Ubemasa. They are Metamin not just the person, but his clothing as well, whether the transmission happened through Maga or Masa. That is, even if it happened through Maga, even if the transmission happened because a person touched the Tuma source, not only he himself, but his clothing as well, or whatever Kalim he was touching at the time he touched the source of Tuma, would become Tame. In contrast to Nevela and Mechates, where again, we learned in the previous Mishnah that if the person became Tame from those through Maga, if he touched it, he is Tame, but not his clothing. Now, seemingly, the Bo'al Nida, the man who had relations with the Nida, is an equally potent source of Tuma as the fluids just listed. But in fact, the Rabbi Bartanur explains, based on the Rambam, that there is a stringent component of the fluids just listed that is not found in the case of a Bo'al Nida, and that is that regarding the possibility of Tuma transmission through Masa, where some object bore the weight of the Tuma source, when it comes to the fluids mentioned here, even if the object bore just a small bit of the fluid, that object would become Tamei. Whereas when it comes to Bo'al Nida, Tuma transmission through Masa would only happen if the object bore the weight of the entire person, as opposed to if the object bore the weight of just, let's say, one limb of the Bo'al Nida, in that case the object would not become Tamei. Now the way Masa Tuma transmission occurs in the case of the aforementioned fluids is that if, again, an object bears the weight of the fluid, even without touching it, then that object becomes Tamei. But if it were the reverse, if the fluid bore the weight of some object, but didn't come into direct contact with it, then the object does not become Tamei. In this regard, the Mishnah says, L'mala mehen Merkav. The case of Merkav, an object that is designated for the purpose of riding, for example, a pommel, which is a handle of a saddle, if this type of object becomes a source of Tuma, because it became Tame from a Zav, it would be a more potent source of Tuma, as far as the situation of Masa, than the sources of Tuma discussed until now. Shehu metame tachas even misama. For this object meant for riding is metama even from beneath a fixed-in, a large rock. That is, if a Tame person, let's say a Zav, put his weight on a rock, and underneath the rock was, say, that pommel, some object meant for riding, then the pommel becomes Tame, even though the Zav's weight in this case is, you know, relative to the rock, insignificant, but still, in the end, he put his weight, it contributed something, so his weight was ultimately on the pommel, so the pommel then would become Tame. If afterwards a Tahar person, when it sat on the rock, and so now the Tame Pamel, which is an Avatuma, it itself becomes a source of Tuma, is bearing the weight of this Tar person. This makes the Tar person Tame. So again, the point is that when it comes to riding equipment, there's an additional possibility of Tuma transmission in that if the riding equipment that became an Avatuma bears the weight of a Tar person, that person becomes Tame. The Mishnah then says, Lamala mina Merkav Mishkav. An object meant to be lied upon is a more potent source of Tuma than riding equipment. Meaning both these things, I share the feature that if a very Tame person, such as a Zav, puts his weight on them, then they become Tame on the level of Avatuma, like they in turn can be Mitama other Kalim. But the Mishkav specifically, something meant to be lied on, is more potent than riding equipment that became an Avatuma, in that, Sheshava Mago Limasal. the mishkav object, this object meant to be lied on, transmits tumma to the same extent whether the transmission happened through maga, through direct contact, or masa, based on the fact that somebody bore its weight. It is either way, a person who either touched or bore the weight of a mishkav object, this object meant to be lied on, and became an avatumma. Not only does the person become tummy, but his clothing, anything he's wearing, or any other kelim he's touching at the time, those become tummy as well. In contrast to merkav, if the riding equipment became tummy as avatumma, while it's true that if somebody bore the weight of the riding equipment, that not only he, but his clothing too will become tummy. If, however, person touched the riding equipment, he becomes tummy, but not his clothing. The Mishnah concludes, Lamala mina mishkav, a more potent source of tumma than the case we just discussed of a mishkav, get something from lying on that a very tummy person, like a zav, went and put his weight on. More potent of a source of tumma than that is hazav, is the zav man himself, which is, as we would expect, this is going back to the original source of the tumma. A zav person, in a sense, you know, similar to a corpse, is like avi avos hatumma, because he makes other things into avatumma. What he lies on, for example, becomes an avatumma. And so the object he lies on, let's say mattress, is not as potent a source of tumma as the zav himself, and specifically that shehazav osem mishkav. While if a zav lies on something like, let's say, a mattress, and that mattress itself becomes an avatumma, it itself is a source of tumma and has the capacity to transmit tumma to kelim, or people, a mishkav osa mishkav. A mishkav, however, cannot create another mishkav. That is, although if that object, the zav, went and lied down on, it becomes navatumma, a source of tumma, if that mattress then touches, let's say, another mattress, the second mattress, yes, becomes tame, but only as a rishon l'tumma. It's 1 degree away. Since the second mattress is only a rishon l'tumma, it does not have the capacity to make a people or kelim tame. It can only make food, which is more sensitive to tumma, tame.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.